Wilma, an international threat.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Big and powerful Hurricane Wilma is taking aim at several countries. People in a 600-mile swath of the Caribbean could be evacuated. Parts of Mexico, Cuba, Belize, Honduras, Jamaica, and Haiti are in the way. The storm is now a Category 4 with 150-mile-an-hour winds, and Wilma could strike Florida by Sunday night. Florida had a terrible time with hurricanes last year, and the state's citrus growers are praying this one doesn't hit. Ashley Milnsight reports.
By the time three hurricanes had swept through Florida last year, a third of the citrus crop was ruined. But the industry had a lot of juice in reserve, so it could still meet demand for orange juice, and prices didn't shoot up.
This year, we don't have that juice reserve to fall back on.
Casey Pace is with Florida Citrus Mutual, the state's largest organization of citrus growers. She says growers are worried.
Not just with the impact that this will have on the juice market and with their crops and their trees, but also we're battling with a bacteria called citrus canker, which is spread through wind-driven rains.
Conditions are ripe for a price hike if crops should be hard hit. Demand for orange juice has gone up with the drop in popularity of the Atkins diet. And Brazil, the other big producer of OJ, is also having supply problems. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The Senate squeezed the trigger yesterday on a bill to protect the gun industry from liability lawsuits. The House debates it today. President Bush plans to sign the measure. It shields gun makers and dealers from huge lawsuits by gunshot victims. Opponents say the only thing the bill does is show the power of the gun lobby. Also today, Congress is expected to set the deadline for zapping the analog TV signal. Afterwards, all television will be digital. Here's Marketplace's Amy Scott.
April 7th, 2009. That's the day the analog TV signal dies, if the Senate goes ahead with its latest plan. The government wants to open up some spectrum for emergency radio transmissions and auction off the rest. Consumer advocate Andrew Schwartzman with Media Access Project says telephone and cable companies now dominate video, voice, and internet services. Freeing up some airwaves will make room for competition.
Wireless services can provide that competition, but they need good spectrum, and this is good spectrum.
The move could leave millions of Americans without working televisions. Congress has proposed up to $3 billion in subsidies to help people buy set-top converters so their older TVs can still work. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Long before there was television, there was chewing gum. The first gum was smacked in 1871 when Thomas Adams patented a chewing gum machine. To celebrate the 135th anniversary, Cadbury Adams is bringing back some retro brands, Black Jacks, Beamans, and Adams Sour Apple. Talk about a bubble market. Lower oil and fat earnings made investors happy campers. The Dow jumped 128 points to end at 10,414. The S&P 500 had its biggest gain in nearly 6 months, 1.5%. The Nasdaq climbed 35 to 2091. The rally came on the anniversary of Black Monday, the 1987 crash. That day, the Dow fell 22%. You're listening to Marketplace. The latest Fed wisdom from New York President Timothy Geithner, U.S. deficits could slow growth, but reducing them could slow growth. Huh? Help us out, Stacey Vanek-Smith.
Is the U.S. economy between a rock and a hard place? The current account deficit is 6% of GDP. That's unprecedented for a developed nation, and it bodes ill for the long-term strength of the dollar. But shrinking the account deficit comes with its own set of problems. That's because if Americans invested their money rather than spent it, it could spell trouble for the world economy. Mesirow Financial's Diane Swank.
If we were to stop importing more than we export in a major way, the rest of the world, which relies on us as the consumer of last resort, would suffer.
Swank says the New York Fed president's comments come at a time when many central bank officials are trying to influence President Bush's pick to replace Fed Chief Alan Greenspan. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, the weekly publication of international news with commentary and analysis on world politics, business and finance, technology and the arts, on newsstands and at economist.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. We'll get another round of earnings today. And with every one, we'll find out if the company met Wall Street expectations. If it did, the stock will likely go up. But how much should investors really look at earnings forecasts? Finance expert Chris Farrell says just consider the track record.
The whole thing about the market is trying to anticipate what's going to happen 6 months down the road, a year down the road. And these are by the best and brightest people armed with incredible supercomputers, all kinds of knowledge, all kinds of information. They've got to know. They've got to know what's happening. And yet, if you go through survey after survey and research paper, you'll fall asleep. Okay, that's my forecast. But if you look at it, you know, again and again, the evidence is that the experts just miss when it comes to forecasting.
Well, it's kind of like weather forecasting. I mean, how accurate is weather forecasting
exactly.
A lot of times? So what's the point? Why they even exist then?
Right. I mean, I think earnings are important in the earnings forecast. You know, it's part of the information. It's part of the flow. You've had some earnings coming out. You know, Merrill Lynch has shown some good earnings, Wells Fargo, IBM. There's a lot of information in the report. It's when you start paying attention to the forecast. Well, Merrill Lynch did really well this quarter. So a year from now, they're going to be earning X more a share or whatever figure. That becomes nonsense. But I think there's a fear among a lot of people that if you sort of say, look, these earnings forecasts are worthless, it's largely the promotion side of the Wall Street business, then what do I do?
So then the next logical question is, if we're not paying attention to earnings as much, what should an investor pay attention to?
Investment strategies that don't rely on earnings forecasts. You know, one is asset allocation, and that's how much you divide your assets among stocks and bonds and international stocks and cash. And there it's based on how much risk are you willing to take and how diversified should you be. The other classic is value investing. The whole trolling through the market, finding cheap stocks, stocks that have a very low price earnings ratio, but it's always based on, you know, again, jargon term, trailing earnings. It's based on the earnings that have already been published, not on the earnings that I think are going to be there a year from now.
And I guess it follows that if you look at a company that hasn't had spectacular earnings, that hasn't done that well, you won't be able to predict any better that they might not have better earnings in the future.
That's right. But what you're partially playing on is a company that's been spectacular earnings. Well, the only way it's going to keep going up, if it's what? Even more spectacular. It's magnificent. It's the greatest stock in history. Well, the odds are it's going to disappoint. Now you go trolling through the low price earnings stocks and you get rid of the ones that are fraud or, you know, all that kind of situation. Sure, you're going to be disappointed sometimes, but your upside potential is far greater than your downside risk.
Chris Farrell's economic editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining us and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The New York Stock Exchange.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.